Well, good morning. Here we are, July 12th. 12th? No. Is it the 12th? Yeah, it's the 12th. Yeah, so, well, I'd be like the guy at where we live. He says, the one individual, when he prays, you always get a weather forecast. It's like, what? You know, he said, well, he's always talking about it's a sunny day, it's a rainy day, and all this kind of stuff. He says, so we get the weather forecast whenever he prays. So whenever I open up, you got the date, okay? It is not 1980, it is 2026. Oh, Lord, did you ever think we'd be this old? You know? Well, we are looking, our lesson today is justification by faith. Now, the understanding, we look at this in Paul's writing to the church at Galatia, trying to help them sort out what is the Judaizers have come following Paul to Galatia. Now, Paul goes into the community and he preaches the gospel and teaches them the ways of Christ and of Christianity and how that the Old Testament was fulfilled in Christ, and we have a new thing going on here with Christ. It's not the old ways, it's begun the new thing, the church. Well, what happens is the Judaizers come in, and these are individuals who think that you can become a Christian and know Christ, but first you have to be circumcised, you have to obey the laws, and you have to go to the temple, and then you can become a Christian. And what happens is the laws that were very common, you know, that the Jewish population was needed to fulfill in order to be right with God. So if they were going to be right with God, you had to keep the commandments, you had to keep the laws, and the laws were what the Pharisees had, you know, they'd taken 10 commandments, plus there's other things that go along with the temple, and they've made about 800 laws. And so, it was absolutely impossible for people to keep the laws. So the Judaizers come to town and they're telling them, well, Christ is not sufficient for the salvation of sins. You've got to go back and look at the Old Testament. You've got to look. They don't call it the Old Testament because it's their testament. It's their contract, their covenant with God. And again, they received it from God. God is the one who gave Moses the Ten Commandments. God is the one who called Abraham by faith. So, you know, we got this going on where the people, these Gentiles, are looking back and they're pulling, gleaning the Old Testament promises and ways and seeing how that Christ has fulfilled them and brought them into what is now we call the new writings that Paul and the others write in the New Testament. So, what happens is, it's justification in their eyes, the Judaizers, it's justification by works. Paul is telling them it's justification by faith. So what we're looking for here is to be in right relationship with God. Justification. You know, it's like being in the court and, you've sinned, you've done wrong, the penalty is death. And then Christ comes and says, I've paid the penalty, I've paid the price of their sin, they now have life, and so we are forgiven of our sin debt to God, and we are have new life in Christ. So what we have here is justification by faith, and that's what our lesson is today in Galatians chapter 3. So the golden text is the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, meaning the Gentiles, and this is important, that the Jews and the Jewish population and the Gentiles have the same right to Christ. You know, one is not in preference to the other. The Judaizers, they were Jewish in their background, And they considered themselves to be the ones who were who was preferred by God. Why? Because they were the chosen they were the chosen people of Abraham. So they always saw themselves as being preferred by God. So that's where we have the preference. But when under Christ, Jew or Gentile, God sees them the same. And that there's only one way that we are going to receive eternal life. One way we're going to be justified before God, and a quip is just as if I'd never sinned, justified, that we are justified before God through Christ. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, whether you're Jew or Gentile, all have sinned and we need Christ to forgive us. So the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. That's Galatians 3:8. So Peter and Barnabas, last week, Peter was withstood by Paul because Peter was playing favorites whenever he was telling the Gentiles, he was siding with the, I was getting mixed up, siding with the Jews or siding with the Gentiles. I think he's siding with the Gentiles about, he's siding with the Jews that the Gentiles needed to take, to follow some of the laws. And I hope I got that right. I should have never brought it up. But anyhow, Peter has it straightened out, and they're on in their ministry. But it was one of those things, and I'll find out for sure here. It's just a few pages back. It's talked. What did it say here? That so they insisted on keeping the law of Moses, and so the Apostle Paul introduces himself, okay, that's not it. And himself provided a marvelous example, that's not it. The gospel Paul preached was good news, that's not it. I can't find it. So, if you can look that up, be great. It's in Galatians chapter 2. So anyhow, as we move on, Peter and Barnabas have heeded Paul's advice, and I think that what was going on is Peter's not trying to create waves with the Jews or the Gentiles. So the Gentiles are believing in Christ, and the Jews believe in Christ, but some of them are hanging on to the Old Testament principles like the Judaizers. So Peter is trying to walk the middle of the road here, and Paul calls him on it. So the Judaizers had some success in convincing the Galatian Christians to doubt what Paul had said. And the reason is the Gentiles had heard about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, about the laws that were in the Old Testament. They had heard about these, and then Paul went on to talk to them about Christ. Then the Judaizers show up and say, no. the laws? Well, you got to do the laws, and you got to keep them in so that you make God happy. God won't be happy unless you kill a few animals and pretend that they're taking away your sins. So the Galatian Christians were listening to these troublemakers, I like that, whose doctrine had wrongfully implied Christ was a minister of sin, and his death was insufficient for salvation. But leaving no stone unturned in his letter to the Christians in Galatia, Paul made it clear there is no foundation for salvation except through Jesus Christ. So that's where Paul is approaching this chapter in Galatians. So, chapter 3, verse 1. He starts off by a very easy introduction. You fools. You ever start a letter that way? You ever get a letter that way? What are you going to do? I'm throwing out. I'm the fool, you know. But Paul starts off that way. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works. Okay, it's like, okay, did you receive the Spirit of God by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? So Paul is challenging them. He implies that they've been bewitched. Like, you know, I was there. I preached the gospel to you. You received the Spirit, and your life was changed. Now, these Judaizers come in, and you're like, you've been bewitched. You've forgotten. You know, it's like you've been duped or whatever into thinking that Christ is not the way of salvation, and that did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? So they, what were the Judaizers telling them? You needed to do the laws. You needed to keep the laws in order to get in right with God. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and ye now made perfect by the flesh? You began in the Spirit, meaning you gave your life to Christ and in the Spirit, but now you've taken away from a spiritual experience, and you are saying it is the works of the flesh, meaning you are going to keep the commandments and make God happy. You know, that's what he's looking at here. So, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of the gospel or faith? Well, of course they received it from hearing the gospel of faith. Obeying rules and regulations had nothing to do with their receiving life. So, it's like, you know, today we'd say we're joining the church or joining a denomination or, you know, sitting in the pew and think, rub shoulders with a very righteous person, and it just the goodness of God just flows and you get saved. That's a joke. So you don't get saved because you're a grandkid of someone who's a Christian, and your life is changed because of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And then he says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? In other words, did you come into this holy relationship with God through the Holy Spirit in your heart and then resort to your own power to keep the rules or conduct to reach spiritual maturity? So you see, so it's like, and there are groups that really focus on works of the flesh, of, you know, keeping the rules, doing the right thing. You don't do this, you don't do this, you're not going to go to heaven, and so you're constantly in this guilt trip about not being able to be good enough to serve God. And I think I told you this one individual I counseled years ago. He was working at Walmart, and I mean, that's not a knock. He was working at Walmart, but he was the night stalker, okay, putting things on the shelves. They wanted to give him a promotion. He was entry level. They wanted to promote him. He wouldn't take a promotion. And his wife was very upset because, you know, he could make more money doing the same job if he would take the promotion. And I gave him the book, Search for Significance, okay? He came back the next week and gave me the book back, and he says, my pastor says, you don't search for significance, you search for insignificance. And it is God's will that he not take a promotion because he needed to be the lowest one on the pole, you know? It's like, what on earth? what kind of gospel is this guy preaching? And, you know, but that was how the guy was. He would not take promotion. He would not allow himself to think better of himself. And he was always guilty. And it's like he couldn't be forgiven. But he wouldn't allow himself to be forgiven. So that's how strange or how far people can go with their belief systems that would be putting them in works and, you know, having to, you know, wear the right clothes. And they're wearing the wrong clothes, you can tell that, you know. But, you know, wearing the right clothes and so on. So what's going on here is, did you receive the Spirit by the works or by the hearing and faith? Oh, well, we received the Spirit by faith. So you don't have by works. Paul says, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the works are like the Pharisees that we do these works and, you know, we want everybody to see them, because if we can see them and everybody else can see them, wow, you're a really great spiritual person. So it doesn't work that way. Having begun in the Spirit, the next section, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? In other words, did you come into this holy relationship with God through the Holy Spirit in your heart, and then resort to your own power to keep the rules? See, when we're looking at our life, are we living by faith? I mean, there's always problems going to come. They're going to come and go. Our faith is helping, letting us know that God is with us, God will never leave us, and that by his grace and mercy, you know, we're always on his mind and heart. He doesn't have one bad thought, negative thought about us. So we've got this understanding of the Scripture that encourages us in our faith. And then the next section is, have you suffered so many things in vain? So the Galatians had, the people in Galatia had experienced a lot of suffering and persecution. And Paul tells them, did you receive that in vain? Because if you believe that you're going to be saved by works, all that suffering is for naught. It's not going to count for anything because your belief system is wrong. But if you believe in Christ and you suffer, oh, well, then that's going to bring you gain, that your faith will increase and God will be with you. And so the one who worked miracles among you, doth he it by works of the law or by hearing of faith? So when the miracles came to you in Galatia, in the community, did they come by someone preaching the law or by preaching grace and justification, the hearing of faith? So which was it? So it's faith. So faith is what is teaching us, by grace we're saved through faith. So faith is a belief in God, and that we have this understanding of God through the text, through the Scriptures. What else? So Christ crucified was the source of the blessings the Galatian Christians had received. In Galatians 3:1, the form of the verb crucified, Paul used, expressed the abiding results of a past act. Jesus was crucified, and because of that, you are saved. And crucified here is because of the act of Christ in the past, its present effect upon you. Isn't that neat? So what happened 2,000 years ago has an effect upon us now. Because Christ, his death on the cross was for all sin, and that is what who forgives us now. And we take communion. Jesus says, I will not partake of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. So the crucifixion is the blood of Christ shed for our sins. It's past work, is used to express abiding results of a past act. The abiding results of what happened in our past, in time past, the abiding results is that Christ's Spirit is with us now. Amen. So, next, chapter 3. You have any questions? Someday you're all going to stand up and say, yeah, I got one. Yeah. You can't get to heaven in a pastor's truck because pastor's truck is going to get stuck. That was a long time ago. But a good time. All right, next is chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. This is where Paul is starting to, okay, let's put this together for you people. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So Abraham believed, okay, establish that. His belief was his righteousness. The righteousness is right standing with God. So his belief made him in a right standing with God. See how important your belief is. You know, whether you believe you're going to succeed or believe you're going to fail, the answer is yes. So, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So, whenever we're reading this and looking at, you know, this is 2,000 years ago, we can go back 3,000 years and align ourselves with Abraham, and that as we believe, as Abraham believed in God, it's accounted to us, we are a child of Abraham because we believe. Abraham had many sons. How many sons had Father Abraham? I am one of them. So are you. Da bum 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 bum. That was youth camp. So, you didn't sing, Glenda. I mean, you know, help me out here. So, and you're children of Abraham because you believe, having faith. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, the key verse that describes justification by faith is Genesis 15:6, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. At that time, the law would not be given till at least 430 years later. So 430 years before the law, Abraham had faith. So which existed first? Faith. And Paul's telling the Judaizers and the Galatians, you're trying to believe in some, you know, faith. You're saying faith is not enough. Well, Abraham was a man of faith. He didn't have the laws. He was a man who believed in God. And his belief was the foundation of his faith and his right relationship with God. So 430 years later, God gives to Moses the law. Why did God give Moses the law? Well, to straighten the people out. You know, to give them boundaries. You know, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't bear false witness. These are boundaries. They had right relationship with God, have no other gods before you, and then right relationship with people. That's what the Ten Commandments were about. So that you keep these commandments, you know, they were boundaries, guidelines for the law, and then you would have your faith established. You know, you have your faith in God, and that's why you believe these boundaries. Well, when people were breaking the boundaries, they thought, well, we'll just offer another sacrifice. It never made it to their heart. See, that's where works and faith separate. Works is, you know, outward appearance. I didn't cheat, didn't steal, don't did that, you know, I, you know, all that stuff. And it's not enough. You've got to have faith, and faith is the belief in Christ and belief in our relationship with Christ. So, Abraham, a right standing with himself on the basis of faith centuries earlier. Obeying the law has never been a requirement to be justified in God's sight. Obeying the law has never been a requirement to be justified in God's sight. And now those who have faith in Christ stand in right relationship with God and are sons and daughters of Abraham. Sons and daughters of Abraham. We're making the transition. So we're in this right relationship with God, and it makes things better. Right, Ruth?
Right.
Okay, thank you. So the truth had been foreseen in the scriptures as a divine act in which God declares all people righteous on the condition of faith. All people are righteous on the condition of faith. By faith are you saved through Christ. So the faith in Christ and the forgiveness and his work upon the cross is that's the whole foundation of our belief system, not the keeping of the laws, because the laws had a purpose, but the law couldn't save you and the law couldn't bring the Spirit into your heart and life. So continue. Galatians 3 verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So the law was impossible to keep. You know, the law, people broke the law. Law says 35 miles an hour. They just broke it. What's going to happen? Well, if they get caught, they have to pay a fine, all that kind of stuff. Well, in here, you break the law, and it's just letting you know you're cursed because you just broke the law, and you have no alternative. The curse of the law is nobody's perfect except Christ. So the law lets us know that we've done things wrong. But it doesn't help us do things right. That's where Christ comes in. When Christ forgives us of our sins, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, abides within our hearts and lives, and it's from that perspective that we can keep the laws or keep the message of Christ in our heart that will not allow us to be bound in our sins and in breaking the laws and failing our relationship with Christ. But that no man is justified by the law. That's verse 11. So we are not justified. Remember, we're justified by faith, just as if I had never sinned. So by faith are you justified. Abraham believed God, and how many years later? I wrote it down. 430 years later. So the law came. So we have Abraham's faith 430 years later. That's longer than we've been a nation. The law comes. Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident for the just shall live by faith. There it is. Paul saying to the Galatians, that no man is justified by the law. I've kept all the laws. Okay. What does that mean? Well, did they make it to your heart? Do you know the God who brought the laws into existence? You know Christ. So Christ is the fulfillment of everything that was set out in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices that were given to illustrate what their sins would be covered. Okay, they were covered. In the Old Testament, the Old Testament saints, they died when their sins were covered by the animal sacrifices. So covered means that they were covered, and they descended into Abraham's bosom, so to speak, paradise. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, his blood was shed for the forgiveness of sin. That forgiveness went backwards, and to all these people who were covered by, you know, the animal sacrifices, that they were forgiven, and Jesus took captivity captive. He took them all up to heaven with him, and the blood of Christ goes forward in time to everyone who would believe us, and that Christ is our salvation and heaven is our home. So that's how we see this working. And Paul's saying, no man is justified by the law. The law cannot save you. It can just let you know when you've done things wrong. The just shall live by faith. Faith is trust in God and belief that he will watch over, keep us, and sustain us. Faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So living in the law is, you know, like the Pharisees of the Old Testament. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So Christ is the one who hung on the tree. Cursed is the man who hangs on the tree, meaning the cross. And so it was the curse that Christ was taking upon himself, so that the curse of sin would be taken care of. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So now, you see, the Galatians, they were believing that, you know, with these Judaizers, they were believing that taking on the Ten Commandments and taking on the law and circumcision and all this, that's where we had salvation. That's what Judaizers were telling the Christians that Paul had been converted to Christ. And, you know, that's when he says, have you been bewitched? You know, how did you come under this spell? When I left you, you believed, and then you allowed this to come in. So the law did not originate in faith. The law, rightly understood, will make people aware of their spiritual bankruptcy and cause them to flee from their works of righteousness, and furthermore, by faith, embrace the blood and righteousness of Christ. So, next one. Christ has delivered us from the law's curse, being made a curse for us. The curse of the law is God's hatred of sin and his terrible opposition to it. But Jesus Christ settled the account the law had against us by allowing the law to work out the curse on him. So the death of Christ and his resurrection is the pivotal point of the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant is the laws and the nation of Israel and God working through the nation, and, you know, from Abraham to Joseph in Egypt, and then delivering them out of Egypt and the Red Sea, and Joshua going in and conquering the land, and all that is part of this journey of faith. But when they, in the prophets coming on, you know, directing the nation to come back to their right relationship with God, you know, and it's, if you've ever read the book of Judges, it's kind of, well, what happens is the key verse in Judges is, every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's kind of what we got today. You know, everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Why? Because there's nobody leading us. There's no God. There's nobody superior to us. I'm the king of the earth. You know, and guess what happens? We fail. But I didn't fail. You know, we just lie our way through everything. So in Judges, that what happens is they were to drive out the people who were in the land. But what did the children of Israel do? They went in and they conquered certain cities and drove out certain groups. But then, these people aren't so bad. We can learn from them. So they settled next to them. Then they married them. Then they took on their gods as their own. And so they had many gods that they were worshiping. So God Jehovah brings a bondage upon them. They're overrun by someone, and they're captive by someone, and God sends a deliverer, a judge. And a judge comes in, and they have a battle, and they wipe out the bad guys, and everybody comes back to God for 20, 30 years until the judge dies. After the judge dies, well, let's look over here. And they start to cycle over again. So all through the book of Judges, it's that type of relationship, except every time they fell away from God and took on the gods of their neighbors, their judgment lasted longer, you know. Which judge do you like? I have a couple. Deborah, she's the person that, she was the person that sat on the hill underneath the palm tree and judged the nation, meaning that it was like a court, and people would come before her and things, but she did hear from God, and she told Barak, there being names, I forgot. But anyhow, God says she was to tell a certain person that they were going to conquer the enemy, okay? Well, the enemy had 900 iron chariots, okay? And the children of Israel had none. They had iron swords and shields. Children of Israel had spears and pitchforks and shovels. God says, you go to battle, get 10,000 of the men and go to this place, and I'm going to give you the battle. And the guy says to Deborah, nah. if this is God, you come with me. And then, of course, he goes with her, and Deborah says, you're not going to get credit for this battle. A woman, he's going to give it to a woman. Okay, imagine that, gave it to a woman. So what happens is, just as they're about to go to battle, the battlefield is it's kind of a low-lying area, and God brings a tremendous storm. Heavy rains come, and guess what happens to iron chariots? Very heavy. They sink in the mud. So they can't run over the Israelites. So Israel goes and kills them all. And the leader, the king, what does he do? He runs off. He beats it out of there, and he goes to a neighboring community, neighboring group, and he goes in the tent of a woman, and she drives a stake through his head and nails him to the ground. So just as Deborah had said, the battle was given credit to a woman. And it was because this guy went to her tent. And it was illegal. It wasn't allowed to happen, a man going into a married woman's tent. So anyhow, that's Deborah. But there's others too. But whenever we break the law, in our hearts, oh my, in our hearts, it's important that the Spirit of God helps us know, well, what's right and what's wrong? Well, if what we're doing is not right, there'll be this prick in our conscience, there'll be this, don't do that, that's not good for you, that's not where I want you to go. And see, for some people, now like years ago, everything was a sin. I mean, watching TV was a sin. And, probably if we'd stayed with that, we'd be a lot better off. But up in northern Maine, where we were at for a while, everything was a sin. And congregations, the preacher was preaching against televisions and, how all the sin of the world's coming through a tube right into our house. And he had a television in his closet. you know, it wasn't wrong to have one, but he just needed to fess up and say, people, it's not right. He was afraid of losing his job. So, but God has a way of telling us what's right for you, in the sense of, if you do this, that's your weakness. See, it's like an alcoholic, they don't go to the bar to witness. Why? You know, unless God, you know, tells them. But you see, that's their area of weakness. The Spirit's not going to send that person into the face their weaknesses, unless it is a divine action. So according to Paul, there were two benefits of God's promises to Abraham. Abraham and his seed, referring to Abraham and his offspring, his descendants. Normally, the Bible, the word seed is understood to be a collective noun referring to more than one offspring. In his remarks, Paul denied the seed God spoke of in his covenant with Abraham, referred to many seeds of Abraham. Rather, God in his covenant was making a significant reference to only one seed, Jesus Christ. So whenever we're putting this together and looking at what Paul is saying and what he's trying to get to get the Galatians to understand, is Christ is sufficient for your salvation. And Christ is the one who will provide for you and for your salvation. Now, we keep the commandments, we keep the law of God, not for telling God how good we are, but it directs us in serving Christ. And in serving Christ, we're doing the right things for the right reasons, and we're not lying, and we're not committing adultery, and we're not, you know, stealing and false witness. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's just not who Jesus is. And so we want, by faith, we are serving God, and by faith, God will take care of us every day of our life. So that's enough. Questions, thoughts? So read the book of Judges. But we find here, the law, by grace he is saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So all the good deeds we do, you know, goodness follows the Christian. That's just who we are. But they don't save us. A right relationship with God saves us, and the good things follow us. They're in our path. Jesus, we thank you for the life you've given us and for the blessing of your word and the knowledge of your Spirit, and Lord, how your Holy Spirit moves within us to keep us strong and in our faith, and direct us as we can serve you. So bless your word to our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.